Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, as a Christian, one of the most frightening words in the Bible is the word if. Especially for a Christian who knows the gravity of his or her sin. The word if makes all the difference. It's the difference between law or gospel. It's the difference between something being a promise or something being a demand. It's the difference between something being unconditional or conditional. Just think, for example, for the words of the absolution. I forgive you of all of your sins. Now, those are great, comforting words of promise. But if I add the word if, I forgive you all your sins if. What's the if? No longer is that a word of promise, it's now law, because forgiveness now hangs in the balance of what I do. Forgiveness is contingent upon doing something that you have to earn. This is why I said the word if is the most frightening word in the Bible, especially for Christians who know the gravity of their own sin. Now, I'm not saying that if is a bad word, it's just law. So take, for example, the first line of our gospel lesson for today. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, at first, that verse might give us a bit of a warm smile, because who here would bother coming to church Sunday morning if you didn't love Jesus, after all? But when we really stop to think about it and what it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So the question is, are you keeping his commandments? Then do you really love Jesus? If makes all the difference, doesn't it? Our gospel lesson for today is part two of what we heard last week. If you remember, last week was Jesus preparing his disciples for the time in which he would no longer walk in their midst, walk in their presence. He was preparing them and us for his ascension. This is part two of that discussion. For 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus made appearances on earth. And on that 40th day, he ascended into the clouds where he reigns and rules today. That 40th day from Easter would land on Thursday this week. So what we hear Jesus teaching his disciples last week and this week is what applies to us today, in the days that Christ has returned to the Father. So Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Now, it would otherwise seem that he has. I mean, if we didn't know better, if we didn't have promises like this one in the text, if we just looked at how things appeared, it would seem as if Jesus left us by ourselves. It would seem that he came here 2,000 years ago, and he made this great and ultimate sacrifice for us, but then he returned to heaven, and you take it from here. You're on your own. You have to navigate the choppy waters called life. This is exactly why Jesus comes with this promise. I will not leave you as orphans. He has not left us to fend for ourselves. And the reason that is true, that Jesus hasn't left us as orphans, is because of two promises he's given us in this very gospel reading. First, Jesus says, yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. in a little while that Jesus speaks of here is now, the days we're living in today. Jesus has now ascended to the Father, and the world does not see him. As far as the world is concerned, Jesus is just a man like many who lived long ago and is no more. If even that, many of this world reject the idea that Jesus was a real man at all. Some say that he was just some made-up figure. The world cannot see him, but it says, you see him. Now, this doesn't mean that you see the image of Jesus baked into your pancake or something like this. It means that you know the reality, that though a true man, Jesus is also fully God and is present with us everywhere. We know that by his promise, even after ascending to the Father, Jesus is with us even here and now, so he has not left us as orphans. But the second reason this is true is Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Once again, this is completely missed by the unbelieving world. The unbelieving world thinks you Christians are a little crazy and a lot foolish for believing the things that you do. That believing like God is like believing in leprechauns who ride unicorns over a rainbow to find their pot of gold. That being so foolish or even crazy for believing these things. But being called foolish or crazy by the unbelieving world should not bother us, because we should never let the unenlightened judge what is foolish. It's not something that a person can understand by a rational argument or winsome speech, but by the gift of faith, that we confess there is a Spirit of truth who is with us and who comforts us and guides us. He does not leave us as orphans. He does not leave us to navigate the choppy waters by ourselves. He gives us the Holy Spirit who guides us and protects us. Now, dear saints, I do want you to hear this next part, because there is a danger in misunderstanding this. Sometimes I think what we think of the Spirit guiding us all too often is a little voice that just so happens to tell us the things that we want to hear. Mistaking this inner will for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we assign transcendence to an already selfish will and say, God told me to do this, when it was really you who wanted to do this. That's not what the Scriptures teach about the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll hear about this Holy Spirit in a couple of weeks on Pentecost. And what we'll learn from the Scriptures is that the Holy Spirit's work is always to glorify Jesus, who points us to his word of truth. Therefore, the Holy Spirit does not give us inklings or does not whisper irrational course of actions into your ear. The Holy Spirit's work is to point us to Jesus, and that through the word of God, that we cannot separate the Holy Spirit from the word of truth. You can never have one without the other. You never have the word of God in the Scriptures without the Spirit, because he said, my word never returns void. And you never have the Holy Spirit apart from the word of God. These go hand in glove. What then may help us understand this if from the very first line of our gospel? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, there's no beating around the bush on this. This verse means exactly what it says. I cannot soften the blow for you on this one. The meaning of the first commandment is that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And the other nine flow from that. We should fear and love God. So when we misuse the name of the Lord, when we misuse the name of the Lord, when we hate our neighbor, when we don't defend his reputation, when we covet that which the Lord has not given to us, it shows that we don't love God as we should. And for that, repent. It remains to be true that your sinful flesh continues to rebel against God. There's no changing that. You can only crucify your flesh for that. It's the reason Jesus died on the cross. It's the very reason he gives you the unconditional promise, I forgive you of all of your sins. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You are forgiven of all of your sins on account of Christ and his work for you. That is why I'd like to direct your attention to the last verse of our gospel lesson for today, which says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Now, this at first sounds like redundancy. That's the exact same thing that we just got done talking about from the first verse of our text. But I would like to point out to you one small difference between these two verses. In the second one, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. There is no if. It says whoever. Now, that is not true still of your sinful flesh, but it is true of you according to the new creation. Because in Christ, you are made new. That from the font emerged in you a new man that lives in the light of the Lord's word. Now, there are two nuances here in this verse. First of all, when we hear the word commandments, we oftentimes only think law, like the Ten Commandments. But commandments can also mean all of God's teaching. So in the Great Commission, when Jesus says to teach them all I have commanded you, he's not talking about the law, he's talking about everything. But second here is to keep in whoever has my commandments and keeps them. This is the Greek word terao, which is a word that is much deeper than to obey or to keep in the sense of doing what it says. Terao means to treasure something. That means to hold it as something sacred, something valuable, something of high importance. That if you treasure God's word, of course means you'll be concerned about obeying it, but that's only part of it. You'll protect it and defend it. You'll hold it in high regard. You'll delight in it. You'll find your joy in it. So when we understand it this way, this perfectly describes not your sinful flesh, but your new man. The new creation is given to you by this advocate, the Holy Spirit. By the power of God's word has given you the gift of faith to delight and rejoice in that very same word. That you would come here and risk getting coronavirus just to hear it. That you would kneel in confession that when this word is applied to bread and wine, it is the very body and blood of Christ. That by the same Spirit, by the same gift of faith, you would regard this word of God as necessary as the food that you eat, or as necessary as the roof over your head. Whoever has my word and treasures it, it is he who loves me. You treasure this word, even when it's difficult to hear, when it breaks you down, when it shows you your sin, in order that you would fully cling to the promises found in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God that by the gift of his word and the bestowing of the Holy Spirit, he has not left you as orphans, but he has made you children of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.